Amen. If you would in your Bibles this morning, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. I enjoyed that duet. Intended to be a trio. Amen. Well, I'm looking forward to, we have a new soundboard going to be hooked up this week, Lord willing. And the old soundboard's going out. And I appreciate those who work with our sound to do all the work. And I got a hum and something up here. It's something. No humming now. Woohoo! All right. Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 6 says again, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who thinks of us, who cares for us, and that you have given us some great promises. And that, Lord, we understand that as God, you have to keep those promises. We thank you in the past for the things and the promises you've kept in the past. We look forward to the future. We do thank you that you do guide and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I love that. It just doesn't just say, whereby are given to us promises, but it says, whereby there is given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And can I tell you this morning that there has been some great promises given to us in the Scripture. And they're not just great, but they're exceedingly great, and that they are precious. And I tell you, as you deal with people, many of you in business, and also just if you anybody else in your life, people promise to do things for you. I know there's people in this auditorium that I promised to do something for you, and I have forgotten, right? And there are people in this auditorium who promise to do others. In other words, we promise all the time, and we do our very best to try to keep those promises. But can I tell you that God keeps His promises every time? His promises never fail. He keeps them every time. And what a tremendous thought that is. Exceeding great and precious promises. In fact, there are the promises described in the Bible that are described as better promises, speaking of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. We won't go into that this morning, but the Old Testament and the New Testament. The New Testament is a far better covenant, a far better promise. And we're so thankful that we have these great promises. Now, these promises are described for us in the Word of God and are related to our life in Christ Jesus. So these promises are described to us in other words, God hasn't come down in a vision or a dream to you, at least I hope He hasn't, that would be kind of scary, and given you some promises verbally, physically. No, His promises are found in His Word. And these promises are attached to, are found in His Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, the promises that are given to us are found in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We talked about last week that that Jesus, and by way of Paul, and under the inspiration of the Holy Scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul said that God said, I will supply all your needs. I will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God has promised to supply our needs. There are treasures of promises like this in the Bible. And God has a promise to supply every need. Now, I preached that one last Sunday. By the way, we're preaching a series of messages on standing firm in the promises of God. Today, last Sunday, we preached on standing firm in the promise of God and that He supplies our needs. And it was very much a shotgun promise. In other words, if you think about that term, supplying all our needs, well, that covers a lot of subjects. And covers. We talked about last week that He supplies our relational needs. He supplies our physical needs. He, more importantly, supplies our spiritual needs. That He supplies all of these needs for us and what great promises we have. Today, I'd like to talk about standing firm in the promises of His guidance. In other words, God is by the way, I am overwhelmed as I study the promises of God. I am overwhelmed. I have a book in my library called All the Promises of God. It's that thick. It's a hardback book this tall. Not that little one some of you may have in your possession that you got from the Lifeway Christian store, which is a great book, by the way. Go through there. It will encourage you. But I have one this thick, this tall, and I'm reading through it, and I'm overwhelmed at how many promises that are given in the Scripture. There are thousands of them. There are thousands, literally thousands of promises that are given. Now, some of them do apply to the Israelites in the Old Testament, but their spiritual application many times applies to us. The promises of God. I'm overwhelmed by the promises. So as I'm looking and studying and saying, what am I going to preach on? I really have to sift through and say, what would be the best for our church family? And so this is the area which I think I get a lot of questions about, and that's always about guidance. About guidance. What is God's will for my life? Can I tell you this morning, God has promised, if you're saved this morning, if you're a child of the King, if you're a child of God, God has promised to guide in your life. He's promised that. You can mark it down. There are some great promises in the Bible. I always want to point out that the ultimate and the greatest promise is the promise of salvation. I'm glad today that I'm saved. And I've been promised that if I'll simply put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, His life and His death and His resurrection, that I can have and will have salvation. Salvation from what? Salvation from the wrath of God, which is hell, upon sin, and be given a home in heaven. That by His promises, my sins are forgiven by way of Jesus Christ and His shed blood on Calvary. I stand before you today, a sinner saved by grace. I stand before you today, a man who is a sinner, yes, but whose sins have been forgiven. I am so glad today that I have a Savior who loves me and gave His life for me, and again has promised that if I'll simply put my faith and trust in Him and His life, His death, His resurrection, that I can have everlasting life. That is the greatest promise in all of the Scriptures. And that the Lamb of God who came and died for me. I hope this morning that you have accepted that promise. That today that you know that you're saved, today that you know that you have eternal life. If you don't, I'd encourage you at the end of the service, we're going to sing a hymn or two, and you can come down the front. Here in these steps, we can show you from the Scripture the promise of salvation, the promise of your sins being forgiven, the promise of new life in Jesus Christ, the promise of heaven and by way of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is the greatest promise found in Scripture, that of salvation. That is the greatest promise. I'll mention that again over and over and over again. As we appropriate salvation, as we accept salvation, and Jesus Christ comes into our life, and I'm so thankful for Him being in my life, and I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit that abides in me. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6 says, we become, as born-again Christians, we become fellow heirs and partakers of the promises that are found in Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, you can go back and read it later. But we become partakers of that promises that are given to us by way of Jesus Christ. We become fellow heirs. The Bible speaks of, and I'm going to kind of, this is all introduction, so stay with me. The Bible speaks of salvation. We accept Christ as our Savior. And by becoming saved, we escape hell, have a home in heaven, have our sins forgiven. We become heirs of the promise of God. Heirs of that promise. In other words, joint heirs with Jesus Christ and become a partaker of that. Then we are encouraged to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ didn't save us just to give us a home in heaven. He saved us in order to fellowship with us. God desires a personal relationship with you. In fact, we were created for His good pleasure. So when He saves you, when you accept Christ as your Savior, His desire is that He would have a personal relationship with you. And Jesus says that there in John 14, 15 and so forth, that He says, abide in me and I in you. He says, abide in the vine. Remember that the passage, we're not going to turn there this morning. But He describes the Christian, He describes Christ as being the vine and we are the branches. And that we as branches should abide in the vine. That we should abide in vine. And in John chapter 14 and 15 and so forth, there are given to us some great promises in those particular scriptures. In other words, abiding in Him, what does that mean? It means living in total dependence upon Him. How do we do that? What does it mean to live in total dependence upon Him? We find this in verse 6 in our deal. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. How do we live in total dependence upon Him? What are some characteristics of living in total dependence upon our Savior? Number one, confessing Him. confessing Him. In other words, confessing Him before men. One who is abiding in Christ will tell others about the one he loves. One who is abiding in Christ will tell others about the one she loves. If I'm in personal relationship with someone, I am going to talk about them from time to time. You know, it'd be like being married and never talk about your spouse. You know, you have a friend at work and you never told him you were married. No, you're going to talk about the one you love. Every once in a while it's going to come up in conversation, right? So being in dependence upon God means that you will confess Him. Number two, we'll walk daily with Him. Walking daily with Him. Being in dependence upon God means that you are dependent upon Him, and therefore you must walk with Him in order that you might know what to do and how to do and so forth in life. I am in total dependence upon God. I talk about Him. I love Him. Therefore, I talk about Him, and I walk with Him every day. I get up every morning, and I say, Lord, help me to live today in the Spirit and not the flesh. And I love Brother Stone preached a message several years back, and so I've changed. That's what I used to pray every day. Now I've added to it. Lord, help me to live in light of Your return. And I want to live in total dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ by telling others about Him, by walking daily in fellowship with Him, by reading my Bible, by praying, by being faithful to church, by telling others about Him, by obeying Him. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we are abiding in Him. The results of abiding in Him, the result of total dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ is answered to prayer. As I walk with Him, as I talk with Him, He will answer my prayers. He will answer my prayers. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. The result of being totally dependent upon Him, the result of confessing Him, the result of abiding in Him is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. In other words, that my life would be fruitful. I want my life to count, don't you? I want my life to count. The greatest way your life can count is by you walking daily with the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll have the most profound effect on your life. Your life will be fruitful, not just in the area of leading others to Jesus, but fruitful in character, fruitful in testimony, and therefore it will result in a fruitful reputation and so forth. All right? And also, the result of abiding in Him that is described for us in John chapter 14 is joy. Joy. As I abide in Him, I will experience joy. I am so thankful today that I have the joy of the Lord. Not the joy of the Dallas Cowboys, because that is very fleeting. We have a world today, and Christians as well, all of us are guilty of this, that live from this to this. In other words, we live from game to game, or we live from vacation to vacation, or we live from, I'm going to use the term, from this high to the next high. May not be drugs, but we use other things. We use events. We use other things in our life to bring about happiness in our life. When I'm telling you, if you'll walk with the Lord, you can experience joy, not just when you take the Caribbean cruise, but you can experience joy every day. Now, joy and happiness, I know those are separate, and happiness is what we experience when we go on the cruise, right? Joy is something we can experience all the time, and my message is not totally on that this morning, so I'm not going to cover every aspect of it, but joy is not dictated by circumstance. Joy is something you can experience every day as you walk with the Lord, as you abide in Him. It's the greatest experience you'll ever have. And I'm telling you, it's wonderful. As you abide in Him, He will bring about joy. As you abide in Him, He'll bring about victory in your life. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, if you want victory in your life, if you want victory over that sin that would so easily beset you, if you want victory in your life, you must abide in the vine. You must abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, fellowshipping with Him, developing a relationship with Him, and you will experience victory in your life. You will experience victory every time. By the way, He's promised that. We may preach on that later. And then, as we abide in Him, every need that we have is supplied. Every need we have. And think about, again, the vine and the branch. How does the branch get its sustenance? The sustenance comes from the vine, bringing the sap to the branch, right? And through that, the branch receives life. In other words, as we abide in Christ, He gives us life. He gives us nourishment. He gives us strength. And I could just go on and on and on. as we abide in Him. I got saved. I got born again. I became a partaker of the divine nature of God. But through that, I've developed a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Abide in Him. And then another benefit of being saved is that I have liberty to access the Heavenly Father. I have liberty to access the Heavenly Father. Jesus said Himself in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. The only way to go to God is through His Son. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. The only way we have access to the Father, the only way we have access to Jehovah God, the God of the universe, the God who created all things, is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And by way of salvation, by way of becoming a child of the King, I have access to the Father through His Son. In other words, Ephesians 1:6 says that Christ has made us accepted in the Beloved. I become a child of God. This is a promise by way of salvation that if I abide in Him, I have access to the Father. By the way, a Father, a God who loves me. A God who loves His children. Man, I love my kids. You love your kids, right? Everybody all right? Good? Love them most of the time. I'm glad my God does not love me most of the time. He loves me all the time. Right? And I know when I use that term with our kids, I'm talking about the feeling of love. Sometimes that emotion changes, but we always love our kids. And most of us understand that God loves us unconditionally. All right? So God loves us unconditionally. He sent His Son. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God the Father sent His Son into this world to die on the cross and shed His blood for me, that I might have everlasting life. Do you believe that this morning? Amen? I believe that without a shadow of a doubt. God sent His Son for me, that I can have eternal life. And the benefit of accepting Christ as my Savior, the benefit of this everlasting life is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as I'm abiding in Him, the results of abiding in Him is that I receive results from that, joy and many other things. Also, I have access to the Father. I enjoy my earthly relationship with my father, my dad. Many of you have talked about him all the time. But I enjoy that relationship. I enjoy Sunday night. Generally, every Sunday night, I call my dad or he calls me. And we talk about how the day went and the week went. The last couple of weeks, there's some things that happened in my life. And I have called my dad and said, Dad, here's what's going on and what do you think? Amen? I'm glad I still have my dad around to do that. Some of you don't. But when your dad was there, most of you would attest to the same thing. Call my dad. I want to know my dad's opinion and get his advice and his counsel. I'm glad that my dad's there for me and has always been there for me. And some don't have that, again, don't have that ability. And I love my dad loves me. In fact, I've told you before, I think my dad's the greatest Christian I've ever met. I believe my dad really does love me unconditionally, and I think that's hard for an earthly dad to do that, but he really does. My Heavenly Father loves me. He loves me so much, again, that He sent His Son to die for me. And in doing so, as I accept Christ as my Savior, I have access to the Father. And because the Father loves me, He has given me these great and precious promises. He has given me many great and precious promises. And just as I love my children, and just as my dad loves me, my physical dad, my earthly dad, my dad guards me. I guard my children, right? I protect my kids. Try to attack one of them and find out, right? You're the same way. I instruct my kids. I correct my kids. I counsel with my kids. And then I help guide my kids. I just don't let them grow however they want to. No. I train them. Train up a child the way they should go. When they're old, they would not depart from it, right? And so I don't just let a child do whatever they want. I'd never let my kids just do whatever they want. Amen. We live in a society today that a lot of parents let their kids do whatever they want. That is not right. And so we take some steps to help train our kids, to help correct them. You know, that's one of my soapboxes, and I really want to go there, but I'm not. The main point this morning is that I have a part in guiding my kids. And I'm glad that Caleb has listened to me and Josh listens to me. Micah and Taylor, they listen to me. I'm glad of that. As children of the heavenly King, we ought to allow, permit, because we are dependent upon our heavenly Father, for Him to guide us. In other words, I want to be in the will of God. As our guide, understanding. Now, with my kids, I can guide them so far, but I don't know what's going to happen a year from now. And ultimately, when your child gets to a certain age, they ultimately have to make the final decision. Amen? Right? Because I can't tell them what's going to happen 3 years from now. I can't tell them what's going to happen 5 years from now. But it's totally different when we think about our Heavenly Father. Think about this for a second. Our Heavenly Father knows the past, the present, and the future. Listen to this now. So, He is standing over there in the future. He is standing over there in the future. He already knows what's going to happen in my life. And He's over there trying to, if you would, I don't mean to use that term, but He's over there leading us and guiding us to our future. And what He wants us to do is to stay on that perfect will, that will of, that He has for our life, in order that we might get to this point, that we might stay in His will, because that's the best place for us to be in. I want to be in the will of God. I want to be in His perfect will. Now, I do believe that God has a permissive will, and sometimes when we do step out, He allows certain things to happen in our life, but then there is, when we get completely out of the will, that's a wholly different thing. But God desires for us to stay in the will. In other words, I want to stay in the will of God. I want Him to guide me because He already knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He already knows what's going to happen 3 days from now. He already knows what's going to happen 5 years from now for my life. And therefore, I want to be dependent upon Him. I want Him to guide in my life. By the way, He's promised to do so. He has promised to do so. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. And listen, I've just picked out one scripture. There are multiple of scriptures who talk about that talk about God leading us and God guiding us. We even think about the shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ, leading those sheep. And He is there to guide and to lead us. Our God is in front of us, bringing us along. We speak of the Bible as being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In other words, He is there beforehand. He knows what lies beyond the bend. You know, when we drive in at night, and sometimes it's frustrating. You may be winding up a windy road, and you can't see what's around the corner. I've been driving forever, and even then, I still get a little apprehensive as I go around a sharp 90-degree corner, right? Because you don't know if another person's going to come across the lane or what's around the corner until you get around there. God already knows what's around the corner in your life. Thank the Lord for that. And I simply want Him to guide me. In order for Him to guide me, number one, I must acknowledge Him. I must acknowledge Him. It says there, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. That means in everything. That's pretty simple. In everything, acknowledge your dependence upon Him. That means the big stuff and the little stuff. I've told the story about a great revival that happened in the 1800s. It was a great evangelist who preached all week, and he was tired and worn out. And by the end of the revival meeting, he asked one of the kids to run out and get his horse so that he could leave. Well, the child went out, to the young person, a teenager, went out to grab his horse and could not catch his horse. The horse was not cooperating. And so he came back to the evangelist and said, "Sir, I can't catch your horse." And the evangelist said, "Have you prayed about it?" And it just kind of took the teenager back, like, "What do you mean, prayed about it? I can't catch the horse. I mean, the horse isn't cooperating." "Well, have you prayed about it?" And they got on their knees and prayed about it. And, I mean, this is substantiated. Went out and caught the horse. And the point to the story is, pray in the little things as well as the big things. We have a we have a good track record, most of us, that when something big is coming into our life or something, you know, when we need the fire truck, we call for it. You know, when things are, when the house is burning down, we go to the Lord and say, Lord, help, help me. But, you know, if it's whether or not, we don't pray in the little stuff many times. In other words, if we're going to allow the Lord to lead us and guide us in our life, we must be totally dependent upon Him. Totally dependent upon Him. We say, well, how do you do that? You acknowledge that. See, you're saved. You're a child of the Father. So how do you acknowledge your dependence upon Him? You tell Him so. Golly, that's easy. The sermon's over. You just tell Him. You get up every morning and say, Lord, help me to live in the Spirit, not the flesh today. Lord, help me to live in light of eternity. Lord, I am totally dependent upon You. I don't know what in the world I'm doing. Amen. Acknowledge Him in everything. Talk to Him about it. Recognize His authority in your life. The Bible says when we're weak, He is strong. That's what He told Paul said, right? So we are weak. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his step. In other words, if left to ourselves, we stray from the path. Every time. You get out of relationship with the Lord, if you're not abiding with Him, if you're not daily walking with Him, you will stray from the path that He has intended for your life. We must live in dependence upon Him. And then He will direct our paths. As we acknowledge our dependence upon Him, He will direct our paths. Let me just give you a few things about this direction. Number one, it sometimes is contrary to reason. You ever been there? Lord, I'm dependent upon You. Here's the situation in my life. And He speaks to your heart and tells you to do something, and it's totally contrary to reason. There's a great illustration of this in the Old Testament. And that is when the children of Israel left Egypt. Here's Moses bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. God had done some great miracles. I mean, performed 10 great plagues upon Egypt. And Israel had seen God work. I mean, had seen, you know, frogs, and they'd seen the water turned into blood. They'd seen the lice. They'd seen the grasshoppers. They'd seen fireball hailstones come out of heaven. And they had seen some tremendous miracles. The firstborn of all the Egyptians died. I mean, God had done some great things in the sight of Israel. And so as they left Egypt, if you'll ever get in the back of your Bible, some of you have maps in the back of the Bible, you'll notice the path that they went was the long way. There was a shorter path to the Promised Land. Have you ever noticed that? You ever thought, why in the world did they go all the way through the Red Sea and around that way when they could have just went right up the coast and went right to the Promised Land? I mean, it would have been much easier. But understanding that that's what's reasonable, but God didn't do that, and there's reasons why. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But can I tell you, sometimes your life is guided down a road that you may not deem reasonable, that you may not deem is the shortest route. You ever been there? You're just like, Lord, I don't understand this. I want to go this direction and get to this point, but You got me way over here. He's got you way over here for a reason. Right? It may not be reasonable in your eyes. And you say, Lord, there's a lot shorter route to this. Lord, if You'll just do this, I can get to this. By the way, I'm saying I a lot, ain't I? It's whatever the Lord wants. So sometimes it's not reasonable in our eyes. Number two, it's not always straight. The path that God has for us, that He's leading us down, is not always straight. Sometimes we have to go the long way around. But it's the better way. As Israel left Egypt, they went the long way around. Why? Well, because the shortcut involved the Philistines. Involved the Philistines. The Philistines were a powerful people. I have no doubt, do you think the Israelites, when they left Egypt, do you think they were a trained army? Do you think they were down in Egypt as slaves training to be soldiers? No, I don't think so. No. They hadn't trained. They hadn't trained a bit. If they were to start training down in Egypt, the Egyptians would have stopped them, correct? Right? They hadn't trained to be soldiers. So the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy and two other places as well that God sent them the long way because of the Philistines. Because he knew, God knew, had they gone through the path where the Philistines were at, that they would have been destroyed. So God used this long way around for them not only to see God's guidance and so forth, but also to train and to get ready. It talks about them setting aside those 600 or so thousand men. And no doubt they began a training process right away. And God prepared them to that, but he brought them the long way around. By the way, where God leads, there is rest. Deuteronomy speaks of him going before the children of Israel and them experiencing this rest. He goes with us, Deuteronomy 31 says. Again, I want you to see the illustration of the Israel coming out of Egypt, that God is leading them, that God has directed them. He takes them the long way around to protect them. It's not always reasonable to go the long way around, but God always has a reason. And then God begins to lead them. How does he lead them? Fire by night, a cloud by day. He leads them, and in doing so, it brings comfort to the children of Israel. It brings rest to the children of Israel. That light by day and that fire by night, that cloud by day and the fire by night. Can you imagine that? Big old fireball out there and you're just walking around in the desert following this big fireball. But as long as you're following the fireball, you know that you're protected. As long as you're following the cloud, you know that your needs are going to be supplied. And after 40 years of this, God led them for 40 years with a cloud by day and a fire by night. He supplied their food. He supplied their water. He supplied meat and bread for 40 years. As long as they followed the cloud and as long as they followed the fire, God supplied every one of their needs. He goes with us. That's where I want to be. I want to be in the will of God. I want to be in that place in which God is leading me and guiding me. In the New Testament, the Bible speaks of the triune God and that he is involved in every aspect, that they, the triunity, are involved in guiding us. We know John 16 says the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. We know that the Bible speaks of Jesus leading us and directing us, that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. And then Romans 8 and Galatians chapter 5 says that we are led by God. So there's a New Testament, absolutely, scriptures that verify this, that God is leading us by way of the triunity of God. And then the Bible over and over again says of itself that it's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, that it is the guide. We believe the Bible is the map, the roadmap for our lives, that it has all the answers that we need. In other words, for every need in your life, this is what I'm finding out as I'm reading about the promises of God. For every need in your life, there is a promise found in here. Every need. Every little chasm, every little crack in your life, God gives us a promise that supplies that need in your life. It's amazing. It's amazing. The Bible fills most of the blanks as far as the will of God in your life. In other words, what you do in order to find God's will in your life is you line yourself up with this. Right? So, you know you should read your Bible. You know you should pray. You know you should be faithful to church. You know you should give. You know you should tell others of Jesus. These are things we know that are not optional in the Christian life. These are commands in the Christian life. Amen? Amen? I need some more, man. We need to get on with this. All right, so just like filling in a crossword puzzle, I fill in those five blanks. Those five blanks are given. Those five blanks are the will of God. All right, so when other things come into my life and I don't know what to do, most of the blanks are already full. I have a few that are not, and those few are directed as I abide in Jesus Christ. In other words, as I'm walking with him, as I'm fellowshipping with him, he will speak to my heart. And he will lead and guide me. But he never leads contrary to the Word of God. He never guides us contrary to his Word. The Bible fills in most of the blanks. Get to know your Bible. If you want to know the will of God in your life, get to know your Bible. fellowship with the Lord, and He'll direct your path. There's comfort found in His guidance. In other words, as we find ourselves in the will of God, there is boldness found there. In other words, if I'm in the will of God and I know it, then when things come into my life that seem out of place, or there are tribulations and stuff that comes, when messes come into my life, when problems come into my life, and I know I'm in the will of God, I have boldness to go through those problems knowing that I am in the will of God. I've done this many times. I've experienced this many times, not only in my family, but in the ministry, where I've said, you know what? I'm going through this now, but I know I'm where God wants me to be. I know I'm where He wants me to be. And therefore, I'm just going to continue to go forward. Sometimes a little slower than I want to go. I call it plodding. I'm just going to plod along. When things get rough, when things get weary, and you know you're where God wants you to be, I mean, you know you have the job God wants, and you know your family's in the position it needs to be, and you've just been attacked, you just keep going. The Christian life is not a sprint, it is a marathon. Every once in a while, there's a hurdle put in there. And I'm short, and I can't jump hurdles, and so I fall. What do we do? Get back up. Keep walking. May not sprint. Sometimes we sprint. I enjoy those times. I enjoy the mountaintops. I enjoy the times in which, man, there's sweet communion and fellowship with the Lord and everything's hunky-dory in our families and the job's going well and the health is good, but something happens. It generally does. And what do? You just keep going. I don't mean that you don't pray and ask the Lord, hey, Lord, am I going the right way? But once you have confidence and you know this is the way the Lord wants you to go, you do it with boldness. You step out and just do it. And God has promised that He will be there for you. Again, when we do lose our way, sometimes we do lose our way. Listen, I've been out of the will of God several times in my life. And as I went to Him and prayed, it felt like the ceiling was brass and my prayers weren't getting out. And I could tell I wasn't in the will of God. And I began to pray, Lord, I am not in Your will. Lord, I'm in the forest right now. Help me. Lead me back to the place that I should be. Lead me back into Your will. He's promised to do it. That's what I'm saying this morning. Be bold when you know you're in the will of God. And when you're out of the will of God, be humble to come back to God and say, Lord, I am not in Your will. I am not where You want me to be. Lord, help me. And He's promised that He will. If you will acknowledge Him and your dependence upon Him, He will direct your paths. I'm glad that He has said that if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That every time I go to the Heavenly Father, He forgives me. And He will put me on that straight and narrow. He will put me on the path. Again, when we do stray from the path, we need to get the compass out and get back on track. By the way, I love this. I came across this in that book that I've been reading. It says, He leads. God leads perfectly. How do we know that? Because He already knows the future. God leads patiently because He knows that we're frail. He said that many times. He said, I know you're but dust. God leads powerfully because He's all powerful. And whatever He's wanting in your life, He is going to supply every need that requires. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? I mean, He never gets to this point and He says, oh, I forgot about that. You know, no, He never forgets. He knows exactly what's going to happen, so He leads powerfully. And again, He's perceptive because He knows what lies ahead. And therefore, He has provided everything that you need for the future. Lastly, not only is He our guide, not only is He the one leading us, but He's our companion as well. This is something a little different. Normally a guide's a guide, right? I go out with a fishing guide, or I go out with a hunting guide, or I go out with a guide. Normally they're a guide. We're not best pals. We're not best friends. He's my guide. I've hired Him to guide me. I'm glad the Lord is not just our guide, but He's also our companion in the way. Psalms 48 verse 14 says He goes with us. Mark 16, 17 says He goes with you. He goes with you on the trip. He's not just leading you, but He is there with you. I'm glad He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Verse 5, Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Put your trust in the Lord with all your heart. Total dependence upon Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Total dependence upon Him. Don't lean on your own understanding, and He shall direct thy paths. Don't lean on yourself. I have a tendency to lean on counsel many times in my life, whether it's my dad or others. And it's not wrong. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. But you better not be just relying upon those counselors in your life. You better be leaning on Him. And when the road gets narrow and the road gets crooked and you don't know exactly what to do, fill in the blanks with this and then trust the Lord. And He will direct your path. Let's all stand. We must depend on Him in all things, recognizing and letting Him know that we're in dependence upon Him. In other words, when you don't know what to do, go to God and say that. Go to God and just say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm totally dependent upon You, Lord. Help direct my path. And He will. He will direct you every time. And I love that old saying, where He leads, He feeds. The psalmist says that He'll even lead us unto death. I'm glad He leads me and guides me and is my companion throughout life, all the way. And the psalmist says, even unto death. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I know it's an old song and may not have the greatest scriptural basis to it, but what comfort it brings in knowing that when I do cross over to the other side, that He's not only my guide to the other side, but He's my companion to the other side, that He's there. Lord, we thank You for this time we've had to come and to reacquaint ourselves with Your precious promises. We thank You for the promise of guidance in our lives. I pray that each of us would humble ourselves and be totally dependent upon You in order that we might walk in Your perfect will and therefore receive joy and therefore receive rest. And Lord, we thank You, God, for all that You've done for us in our life. I pray this morning if there's someone here who has never accepted the greatest promise of all, Your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray today they might accept Him before it's eternally too late. Lord, we thank You for the promise of salvation in Jesus' name.